Well, if I can draw your attention for a short time now to the ministry of the Word of God. If you look in your service sheet, you'll see there the text which I would like to open up to you this morning. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. And I'd just like to speak on those various points, if I may, for a short time. I think all of us would agree that we have had a year dominated by politics, and it's left the country almost certainly in many ways with resentment and with anger and anxiety. And it would take an awful lot, I think, in this climate to get God into the picture. It would take an awful lot to get God on the news. I think you would all agree with that. Unless, of course, there was a scandal. If there was a scandal of some kind, then God might make his way onto our television screens. But without it, there is absolutely no chance. And if we went back 2,000 years and we saw the Roman census and the hubbub that was going along, there was a small thing happening in a corner, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was not the news of the day. And certainly God is not the news of our day. And some of you might think immediately, I'm on a hiding to nothing with what I do here, which is to preach the word of God in the day that we live in. Because what Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, said over 100 years ago is almost certainly true. He said, God is dead. And the truth is, for the vast majority of us in our lives, we would have to admit God is dead. God plays no part in our humdrum life or our gilt-edged life, whichever life it is that we live. He plays no part. He's not in marriages. He's not in the home. He's not in families. He's not in children. He's not in schools. He's even not in churches. God, as Nietzsche said, is dead. The death of God is so clearly displayed in our lives. And we would have to admit on a daily basis, it is the literal truth for each and every one of us. God is dead. Of course, God is very useful to us. He is brought out at times when we conveniently need him. He was needed, did you notice, at the armistice? Roll God out at the armistice. On the 11th of November, when God is needed. Because what he does is he brings seriousness and he brings solemnity to our occasions. And so God is wheeled out. At funerals, God is wheeled out. At weddings, God is wheeled out. And of course, at Christmas, here is God on display and we can have a little bit of God. But in truth, the truth is we all really know that for the majority of us, God is dead. And although we blithely recite the carols the way we do, for most of us, in those words that we sing, God is really dead. We have found as modern man that what Nietzsche said is so true. We have no need of God. He is well and truly dead. And yet the Bible makes this claim, perhaps above all other claims, that God is alive. And so I just want to propose to you, and perhaps you'd have the humility, the humbleness, to just hear what I say for a few moments. Just be humble enough to consider this. What if in fact God is alive and we are dead? What then? What if the truth is, in truth, that the God of heaven is truly alive and he may be known and found and loved and followed and believed in. But the truth is that we are dead. Now someone, and I could understand it, I'll take it. I can take anything you throw at me at the end of the meeting. You just come and see me. If you take exception to what I say, I can well understand it. You don't like the idea that I'm suggesting that we're dead. All right, let me put this to you. Here we are in 2019, and the world has come to the realization that plastics are damaging the environment. I mean, anybody who knows me knows I never go shopping, but I went to Marks and Spencer's recently, and they've got wooden cutlery there. They've given up on plastic cutlery. Sky Television has a massive campaign to alert the world to the fact that the oceans are being poisoned by plastic. We're ruining our Earth. David Attenborough and the rest and Dimbleby say, we've got to do something about it. We've got to save our world. Single-use plastics are suddenly poisonous. And yet a year ago, nobody took a blind bit of notice of it. Do you know why? Because we were all dead to it. But we just did not know that we were dead. You see, we can be dead, but we just simply don't know it. And do you know what? I think in 50 years' time, the next generations will say of this generation, what the heck was wrong with them? They were all blind and dead to what they were doing to the world that we live in. And the plastic whale has done so much good. I know it has, even with my own grandchildren, to alert them to the fact that the world around us is being destroyed. We're dead to so many things that are true and that are real. Why should it not be that we are dead to God? It's not God who's dead. But in fact, the truth is that we are dead. Now, I love to quote the great author C.S. Lewis, who wrote the great children's book, the Narnia books. And C.S. Lewis said this, God is the great interferer. And that's what Bethlehem is all about, the coming of Jesus. God comes to interfere in our lives. And if truth be known, the minute that he gets anywhere near to us and begins to speak to us and interfere with our lives, we put up the hackles. And we're not used to hearing, for instance, when Meghan Markle was married to Prince Harry and the guy who came from America and preached with passion. Everybody's still talking about it. You don't do that kind of thing because the hackles go up on us. We don't want to hear the truth that is so plainly being set before us. And this morning, I just set before you some plain truth at Christmas time. I take my hat off to all of you who've come here just 2 days before Christmas. And I know it's still a big shopping day for many people. But you've come, and I'm so glad that you have done. But I want to draw your attention, if I can, simply to what the text says. You can read it for yourself. You can take the order of service with you. He appeared in the flesh. Here we are, probably for the first time, willing to acknowledge that we may be dead to God. But God has appeared to us in the flesh. He has come as a person. It's possible for you to know him personally because he has come as a person. A person has come into our world. And do you know what? It's not just that anybody came, but that he is the Son of God. It's not just that it was anybody's birth. There must have been many births that day when Jesus was born. But it's who was born. And that's the point. And this morning I want to say to all of you, a person is a conscious being. The God who has come into our world is a conscious being. That's what the dictionary says about a person. One who thinks and feels and purposes and carries out purposes into action. One who can talk to a person. One who can respond. One who can share. One with feelings. One with love. This is the one who came. Are we dead to the one who came? Some people say, could you argue with God? You better believe it. There are those in the Bible who even argue with God. Of course they do. The Bible beautifully sets before us that God is a person. But if we're dead this morning, we won't be able to see this. God thinks. He loves. He feels. He hates. He can be grieved. He's pleased to enter into relationship with us. We can see him at work. What a wonderful thing. To get up close and personal to God. To be able to pray to him. To love him. To draw near to him. Imagine that. He appeared in the flesh so that you would be able to do that. And I just put one last thought to you. The Bible uses a particular verb when it comes to this matter of knowing actually knowing God. And do you know, it uses the same for the relationship between a man and a woman, because it is so intimate. Now I ask this, is your wife an abstract, impersonal principle? Is your husband an abstract, impersonal principle? Or is she personal? Is he personal? Are you intimate with that person? That is why God came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might personally know him. I wonder if we have so abandoned the personal in our modern life that we can't even begin to see the personal that is God who appeared in the flesh. Now the text says he was vindicated by the Spirit. I have no intentions of labouring this, but I want to tell you just something about what this means, because this is going to matter, I promise, to every one of you, because there is something I know about all of you. Every one of you without exception. There is something that I know about every one of you. The text says he was vindicated by the Spirit. The one who took flesh hung upon a cross, and he died there to bear in his body the sins of everyone who will place their faith in him. That is why he was born in Bethlehem's stable. When he died and he was laid in a tomb, death operated on him. He was really dead until death was dealt with and God brought him back to life. He was vindicated by the Spirit. Now I can think of nothing where I would like more help one day than in death. And I need an expert. There are going to be plenty of people around you on that day, I'm sure, who love you when you die. But what about in death? I need somebody to be there for me. I don't want to be there alone. I want to be there with one who has been there himself and has come back to life. He was born in the flesh to hang upon a cruel cross, to die, to be raised again, so that I also might be raised to life with him. When the supreme consequences of sin had been dealt with, he was vindicated again by the Spirit of God. For those of you who've never thought about this before, he is alive. He is alive. And he is the one who I come to. When I pray to God, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it would be this morning if we could really celebrate the living Saviour who is Jesus Christ. Now it says in the text that he was seen by angels. You can read it for yourself. In another part of the Bible, we read that the Apostle Peter tells us an amazing thing. He tells us that when God was purposing to send his Son into the world, he tells us that the prophets of old, they yearned, they got on their high heels, as it were. They reached forward. They strained to be able to see who it was who was actually coming. And it says they searched intently and with the greatest of care. The reason why you don't search intently and with the greatest of care is because you're dead. I was once dead in my sins. I had no interest in searching intently and with the greatest of care. And that's why you can understand from my point of view, I don't take criticisms against Jesus Christ lightly, except from those who have searched intently and with the greatest of care. So those who yearned and longed to look into Jesus Christ, they did so with the greatest of care. Last week we heard a wonderful sermon about Simeon. He yearned just to be able to see the Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the reason why I tell you this is because the Apostle Peter says, even angels long to look into these things. They longed to look and to behold and to see the Saviour who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we have just so simply spurned him. We have no interest in him, no interest in beholding him. No excitement, no yearning for the Lord Jesus Christ, none whatsoever. But the angels were rewarded, and they looked upon his face, as it were, and they looked upon it because of their great inquiry, and they sang glory to God in the highest. I said this before, I've got to say it again. Think of a celebrity who really interests you. You know very well that if they were making a visit to this village, to this town, to this place, people would queue. They would crane their necks. They would join the queues to be able to see their favourite celebrity. Of course they would. And do you know why that is? Because we need idols. That's it. It's idols we want, not the living God. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ we want. And all I say to you is that the angels strained forward to be able to see the one who was come in the flesh. Just imagine if our hearts were changed and we came from death to life, we would be like the angels and we would long to look upon him with eyes of faith. Well, one who comes like this, who we have just read about in the flesh, God Almighty amongst us, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels. It's obvious, isn't it, that he would be preached among in the nations. And that's exactly what happened. And so they couldn't keep quiet in the early church. Of course they couldn't. How could you possibly keep quiet? And that's what you know you'd all be like, wouldn't you, if your favourite celebrity was coming. You'd be on your phone, you'd be texting, you'd be telling your neighbour, so and so. You know that you would. That's the truth. You'd be driven by the celebrity you were drawn to. Ah, well, the Lord Jesus Christ, here was God manifest in the flesh. Here was the one who had defeated death. Here was the one who was longed to be looked upon by angels. And this one now was preached in the nations. And so I just say to all of you this morning, the church seems to be all over the country dead or dying. Why? Because it doesn't anymore believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore it doesn't preach him. And Sunday by Sunday by Sunday and year by year by year, we go on preaching the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming his name. That's what our business is. That's why I said to you earlier, what do you expect bakers to do except go and bake, get on and bake your bread, or welders to weld metal? And churches to preach the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how could we have a traditional, so-called traditional carol service here and not really focus on the desire of the nations, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? So this Christmas, you're here. Wonderful. Come again. I always say that. Welcome. We want you to come again. But you'll hear always in this place the proclamation of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, our card says, shh, don't mention the B word. So I've stayed away from politics. No mention of the B word. Yes, no mention at all. But our text presents us with the most wonderful B word. He was believed on in the world. And this presents us with something truly wonderful. Because of who he was, because he died and was raised from the dead, because angels longed to look at him and behold him and see his glory, and because he was preached in the nations, lo and behold, people just like you believed in him. That's it. They believed in him. Now, I'm coming to the end. You've done wonderfully well. Just listen to these last few words. Would it surprise you if I told you that the word Christian is only mentioned in the whole of this book 3 times?